My name's Graham Walker and my special guest today is Manchester indie star Adam French. He's currently halfway through a UK tour, which includes the Harley in Sheffield on Monday, January the 25th. And then he's off to win over the US next month with dates in New York and LA. And he's promoting his new self-produced double A-side single Hunter and Punchbag Love. Adam, congratulations. What a busy start to the year. And what are you hoping to achieve in 2016?
Hey Graham, you're right. Thank you for having me, first of all. It's been pretty mental the last few weeks, but I suppose I just take everything as it comes and just play the shows that are due to be played and, you know, work through, and hopefully people enjoy the gigs that they're coming to, and we can do the same thing over in America. I guess just more of the same for now, and then, you know, drop an album when it feels right to do so.
Well, do you know what, I'll talk straight away about the single, because obviously that's just out, Hunter and Punchbag Love, new single, great songs. We'll feature iTunes and YouTube links for everybody to take a look and have a listen. But what are the stories behind the songs?
So Hunter was a track that I started writing, I reckon, a couple of years ago, and I showed it to a friend as a half a song, and he was like, why haven't you finished that? So I eventually finished it about 6 months ago and decided it was worth recording. I got in the studio, you know, worked in my flat, and then when things were ready to, you know, get a bit bigger and put full drums on it and, you know, start building layers up, went into a recording studio, finished it off. And while we were in the recording studio, we had a bit of time left over, so I had the other track sort of lying around waiting to be recorded, so we decided to lay Punchbag Love down as well. They're both pretty sort of different. I guess they're complete opposites, to be quite honest. Hunter's a track about the idea of basic instincts running through, you know, everybody and anybody. And you know, Punchbag Love's a love song about, you know, doing whatever is necessary for the other.
They're both strikingly different in terms of your musical range as well. I mean, Hunter's got that driving force, the atmospheric drums and that fab chorus. But Punchbag Love, it's a heartfelt piano ballad. Are we always going to get both sides of you in a song?
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think that I can maintain that sort of that spectrum, because, you know, I listen to masses of different music and I enjoy loads of different genres and, you know, different kinds of artists. So I guess that I've never been overly influenced by any one of those. It's just been a bit of a concoction of the lot. So, you know, the more the merrier that I can be influenced by, I guess, in terms of what I end up putting out, because it means that it doesn't sound the same. I don't ever want to be putting out a track and people are like, oh, well, that's exactly the same as the last one, or, you know, once you've heard one, you've heard it. Oh, I'd never want to be sort of pigeonholed like that. So I think that it's always going to be something that's important for me to show both those sides and you know, other sides of the things that I do in the next lot and the next lot after that, and, you know, just making sure that it's all a bit varied and not boring.
Well, do you know what? There's definite influences in the songs. I can hear a little bit of Justin Vernon and bands like Queens of the Stone Age and Bombay Bicycle Club, I think, were one of your favourites. Was that an intention, and is it hard to avoid when you're so wrapped up in that love of that music?
I mean, it's never intentional, I don't think. I think that obviously no matter who you are or, you know, what your band does, what you listen to comes across a little bit in what you end up putting out and creating, because, you know, that's what music is, isn't it? It's people growing up as kids listening to their favourite bands, their favourite artists, and thinking, you know, I want to do that, and doing that, and, you know, influences are influences. So although it wasn't intentional, it's something that I'm not afraid of, it's something that I'm not, you know, worried about. You know, if people hear it and think that's a little bit, you know, the three people that you just mentioned are, you know, some of my favourite sort of artists of the last decade or whatever, so, you know, I'm more happy with that. That's fine by me.
Well, you've really made the sound your own, though. It sounds terrific, and I really urge anybody to go and have a listen. We'll be putting links on the sites, like I say, and we'll get people to have a listen to you. Obviously, you're going to get to see you because you're coming to Sheffield. I just mentioned again on Monday, the 25th. But you've had support slots with Francis, Rat Boy, Jack Garrett. You're now on your first headline tour at just 23. You're doing London, New York, and LA. Are you living the dream?
Working towards that, yeah, but I mean, you know, nothing's getting carried away. We're just taking everything as it comes, man. It's just a case of, you know, I'm more than happy that people are just willing to come to shows. I don't really care how big they are or where they are, you know. You start out doing this as a kid in a bedroom, and, you know, if it was a room with 20 people in it, that's a good thing. If it's a room with 200 people in it, it's a great thing.
Well, you know what? A lot of music fans, they're going to remember you went down a storm playing the BBC introducing stage at Leeds and Reading festivals. How was that experience, and what's it like to perform on such a big stage as that?
It was amazing, actually. They were my first full band show. So this tour was like a combination of solo and full band shows, but that was our first ever full band show. So it was a bit sort of plunging into the fire. But it was amazing. It was just that moment of it going from sort of hobby to reality, I guess, a little bit, and people taking it seriously for the first time properly on a bigger scale. Any other bands in the area that are doing the same thing, like, they're great people, and that platform's brilliant.
Well, I actually wanted to ask you about other bands in advance. My 18-year-old singer-songwriter son, Harry, he's just launched his own indie band called Sundance. There you go, I've given him a plug. But what advice for him and others wanting to follow in your footsteps?
I've not done anything spectacular yet, but I plan on doing so. I mean, I guess it's just a case of if you love doing it, then carry on doing it, you know, and just work hard at it. I've met a lot of people that kind of felt as though as soon as they got a sniff of a record deal or whatever, they kind of lost their heads a bit, and, you know, they thought they'd made it and whatever, but it's not about that. It's about, you know, if people are paying to come and see you play and paying to come to a show, you're there to do your bit, you know, to put effort into it, and, you know, they're there to enjoy themselves, so you can't be doing that half-assed. You need to make sure that you're, you know, giving to the people.
And I suppose the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah, well, something like that. Something
like that. Okay,
you know, I think it's all about just, you know, putting effort into it.
I need to ask you, how old were you when you picked up a guitar, and when did you realise you wanted to be a rock star?
I reckon I started playing when I was about 8. I lived with just my mum, and she could never afford a guitar, so I was always banging on about, like, her friends about how much I wanted to play the guitar and stuff, because I knew that some of my mum's friends' husbands played the guitar and stuff like that. I was always around sort of trying to have a go on one at any time I could. And then one Christmas, somebody gave me an old shitty sort of acoustic Spanish sort of really cheap thing, but I just ended up making as much noise as possible on it for as long as possible, and, you know, teaching myself to play. By the time I was like, I don't know, 10, 12, I could, you know, play chords and stuff, and I just guess it developed from there. You know, I was always experimental with picking different things up, and I wanted to learn the drums, I wanted to learn the bass, I was just all about making noise as a kid. I guess it was pretty annoying for my parents, but it was all about making noise and just expressing myself a little bit.
Sure. And you're from Congleton, just outside Manchester, which has produced great indie acts, as we know. How does it feel now to be part of that crowd?
Congleton's a great place. I've been staying there for the last few days, actually, because obviously I'm in Manchester tonight. So I've been staying back home and catching up with everybody, and I think that quite a lot of Congleton will be at this show. But, you know, it's nice. It's a good thing to come from somewhere and people are, you know, proud of what you're doing and stuff. It's great.
I think you're now living in London, though. I think you've got a home studio down there. Why move away? Why move to the Big Smoke?
I think it was a case of, like, I just wanted to take it further than I could take it in my hometown, you know. I've always had a really strong local following, but I've always felt as though there was, you know, another step that I could take, and when I'd done that, I'd want to take another step and another step and another step. I just wanted to constantly keep on moving the goalposts, you know. It's the plunge, isn't it? You kind of move to London, try and chase the beast on a bigger level, I guess.
Well, you're certainly doing that. Like I say, I mean, you know, at your age, and here we go, London, New York and LA, terrific. But the big one, of course, is the Harley in Sheffield on Monday, January the 25th.
That's the main one.
Well, what can fans expect at the show? Why should they turn up?
So, well, the Harley's a solo show. It'll be an intimate sort of setting. It's me, my guitar, my piano, and I'll sort of break the songs down a little bit and play them in a way that they wouldn't necessarily heard on record. So, you know, you'll get a bit of a unique spin on the songs that you've already heard online, and, you know, some new ones too.
And I guess this is a chance to see a guy who could be playing Sheffield Arena in a couple of years' time.
That'd be very nice. That would be very nice. But no, you know, the more the merrier, and I'm always up for, you know, meeting new people and as many as possible. So
The rest of the tour, and if people want to jump on a jet and fly over to the States, we'll put all the dates on for you. And again, I'll urge everybody to go on to SoundCloud and download it from iTunes, Apple Music, and listen to you on Spotify. And we've got the YouTube channel. So we're going to bang everything up there, including the new video. So good luck with the rest of the tour, and hope to see you soon.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, thank you for having me, Graham. It's been nice chatting.
Thanks, Adam. Cheers, man.
See you later, mate.